Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Our subject, once again, is called to be a soldier. This is part four, and we'll probably do one more part after this, but so happy to have you viewing this subject. It's really important. And so here we go. Now, here's what's been going on. For eons of time, people have been fighting, hatred, all kinds of damage, nation against nation and person against person. And even within families, it's amazing what's happening in the domestic area. It just everybody seems to be aggressive to some way or another. And so the wars go on. But they aren't just wars national. They are internal wars. People are in conflict with one another and lives are blowing up. And obviously even soldiers get exasperated and they reach the point of no return. And in fact, that's probably one of the reasons why we have a book called Time to Kill, Time to Heal, which is to help soldiers recover from post-traumatic stress disorder. And so check into that if you wish. But we're dealing here with warfare. But this warfare that you and I are in is somewhat different. In fact, let me show you this photograph. Because our war is an invisible war. We're doing a little bit of a repetition here. We'll get to move on in a moment. Our war is an invisible war. Our war is against the powers and the ideas and the philosophies and the imaginations that are behind the cause of real wars. And so the damage of people that happens to heart and mind, that's where our warfare actually takes place. We're not against persons, people. In fact, we're for them all the way. We are against the forces that are damaging the people. And so God has called us to be soldiers. In fact, take a look at the scripture. We probably know it real well by now. Thou therefore endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. But of course, the question is, well, what is a soldier? So brief review, here we go. It's someone who's involved in the warfare. We're talking about this invisible warfare. Somebody who's helping people recover from the damage of evil. And then there's one who has to separate himself from many civilian interests because in wartime, the economy has to change because the war is so important. And so a soldier has to give up some legitimate things in order to spend time, energy, talent, and monies in the war. It's one who lives by commandment. Imagine a soldier who doesn't do what he's told. The lawful orders are ignored. He's going to get court-martialed at best, probably kicked out. And it could be very bad. In fact, they are able to process them without actually a court system. And so we, like the soldier, must learn to live by commandment. And what is that? And so you probably have it memorized now, and I hope you do. And if you don't, here it is one more time. Before I decide, speak, or act on in any given situation, before I decide, speak, or act in any given situation, I first check to see if God has a commandment that applies. And if so, I obey that commandment immediately, joyfully, and without compromise. Then we spend time on what's so joyful about obeying the commandments. We covered 10 basics, and they are indeed delightful and wonderful. So, one who lives by commandment. Let's go back and finish the review. It's one with spiritual weapon familiarity, and we spent good time on that. It's one who pleases his commanding officer, and it's in fact one who masters the Christian principles, soldiership principles, and that's a really big one that we spent a lot of time on. Then we learned that a soldier is one who has spiritual military smarts. And that is what takes planning. Military smarts. And so we spent major time learning the God factor and all the techniques that God gives us to fight this warfare. And that's where we left off. One who has military smarts, spiritual military smarts, okay? So here we go today, and let us learn that to be a soldier, one must apply soldiership principles to his ENA, which stands for embedded natural ability. Ah, I don't know if you know, but you have an ENA, and it's very important for you to discover what God, in the King James Version, by the way, these are referred to as spiritual gifts. But when you were still in your mother's womb, God endowed you. He placed in you a gifting. I call them the embedded natural abilities. And why do you want to learn about them? And the answer is because there is a lot of benefits. Once you know your embedded natural ability, you will know your purpose in life, because it will be doing whatever you're gifted at doing. And in fact, you will know God's will for your life. So if he puts into you a specific embedded natural ability, obviously he put it there because he wants you to use that the rest of your life. And when you discover your embedded natural ability, you will have boundless energy. And let me tell you why I say that. I say that because you will never have to do something that doesn't fit you. When you know what your ENA is and do it, you are so comfortable, so at home, it doesn't take mental, emotional energy. It just comes out of you because you are gifted to do that very specific thing. And then you will be relaxed by just being yourself, because whatever your embedded natural ability is part of your identity. In fact, it's a major part of your identity. And so you will just be able to be at peace because now you know what you got. Then you also understand your personal worth and value. This is a really big deal these days. So much abuse, self-destructive behaviors, attitudes. We live in a world, it seems, of high competition with other people, and we're always comparing ourselves, which is always a bad thing to do. Because you can compare yourself with the wrong person, you'll have either an inferiority complex or a superiority complex. And there is no comparison. There is no other person like you. You are not a clone, not a copy. You are a first edition. And so it is only in discovering what is really put in you, this embedded natural ability that God's given you, that you can understand your personal worth and value, because it's tied up in your ENA. And then you'll have fulfillment in life. Because fulfillment comes from discovering your ENA, developing it, and using it. And that's how you will discover great fulfillment in life. You'll become stable the rest of your life. You don't have to drift around. You don't have to go down dead-end streets and turn around, come back, and look for another one. You will know exactly where you should be. And this is a stability factor. Remember that the scripture says that the double-minded man is unstable. Watch this now. In all his ways. It doesn't say the fact that one way or two. It affects all, right? So once you know yourself and your gifting and your embedded natural ability, there's no double-mindedness anymore. And consequently, you have stability. And then you will have direction for personal development. So education and development should be tied to your embedded natural ability. It's amazing how many people today get educated and areas that they never use the rest of their lives. And they switch vocations and from one to another because they've never really discovered the real them. You will have direction for personal development. You'll be able to choose appropriate vocations because certain vocations fit each natural ability. And so when you learn the truths about this, and it's really beyond our subject matter today, but I'm going to give you a few tips about it, and you will be successful. And God will reward you. You are a steward of what God has given you, and I'm telling you, this is where life really begins. Now, here's the short version. There are 7 different embedded natural abilities. One of them is yours. Scripture says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, that you are a member of the body. You are a particular person, a particular member. You are members of the body of Christ in particular. Now, we can all do all of these things, but one of them is particularly you, and you will fit it, and it will fit you. So I'm going to give you a brief view of the embedded natural abilities. The first one is called the messenger. He's a communicator. He's a communicator of God's truth. And, of course, the vocational applications of this are immense. Salesmanship and all kinds of things. Then there is the helper. A helper, in the King James, is called the server, or the helper, because it's called the server. A helper is someone who demonstrates the love of God through the doing of good deeds. I'll never forget. I traveled with a team of as many as 24 full-time for a number of years. I remember standing at the back of a church one time, and we were all just standing around talking, team members, and in the front of the church came a janitor with a ladder that must have been 15 feet long, and he was banging stuff with it. I just watched him. But I had somebody on the team whose gift was serving. He was a helper. And see, they have a focus, and immediately, he didn't think twice. He just immediately went up there and helped the guy, because that's the way they think. Helpers, they're wonderful people because they demonstrate the love of God through the doing of good deeds. They prove authenticity. Then there's the explainer. Of Jesus, it said, he sat down, then opened he their understanding to what the word of the Lord said. Explainers are just that. In fact, the King James Version says teachers. That's what a teacher does, explains the truth. And then there is the encourager. In King James, proclaiming, serving, teaching, exhort. It's called exhorting, but I use the word encourager to help communicate the mission. And that's the person who sees where you're at, sees where you should go, and encourages you to get there. They're visionaries. They got more ideas for you than you can imagine. And they want to get you motivated. So they get behind you and they give you Holy Spirit, something like that, to get you from where you are to where you should be. Encouragers, really wonderful people. In fact, probably most of us are too dependent on them now because of slothfulness and instead of self-discipline. We need somebody to always be telling us to get going. But that's what an encourager does. And what does an encourager need if he ever gets discouraged? He needs another encourager to come and give him a boost. And then there are providers. King James says givers, people who have the ability to turn a $10 bill into $100, $100 into $1,000, and $1,000 into many thousands, and they give their monies to... This is what they do. They're gifted to create a financial and material blessing, which they freely give to others to free them from financial pressure so those others can do whatever their gift is. They're wonderful people. And then there's people whose gift is administrating. These are the big picture people. They understand the whole picture, right? And so what does an administrator do? In the King James, by the way, it's called the ruler, somebody who's in charge of a group. And so he finds creative outlets for the proclaimer to do the proclaiming, the server to serve, the helper to help, and the teacher to teach, and the encourager to... It's a wonderful position this is a great opportunity maker. They provide creative outlets for the rest of us to function in whatever our gift is. And then the last one is, and King James called the shower of mercy, and I use the term caregivers. They're sensitive to the feelings and the emotions of others. And they want to plug in and help heal the hurts. And I don't know, we just don't have time, but I wish we did, for to talk about all the details of all of these embedded natural abilities. In order to make it easy for you, we actually have a book, but you'll see a little commercial about it. And the last seven chapters of the book are just about this subject. So watch this now, because I want to go back to our main point. A soldier is one who applies soldiership to his embedded natural ability. The embedded natural ability isn't that, well, glory be to me, look what I am. You'll sit around, do nothing. Discipline's needed. Energy's needed. The embedded natural ability, when it gets soldiership principles applied to it, becomes totally functional. So what does it mean when we talk about soldiership? It is the condition, the qualities, the context, and the ambiance, the demeanor and the deportment of a soldier. So now all the principles of soldiership are now going to be applied to the embedded natural ability, because your embedded natural ability is your job description for the rest of this life, given to you by God. Okay? It's your mission. And it's the equipment that God's given you to function and to effectively engage the war. So watch this now. So now, instead of just having messengers, we have soldier messengers. We have soldier helpers. We have soldier explainers, soldier encouragers or exhorters. We have soldier providers. We have soldier administrators and soldier caregivers. Now, what kind of a difference do you think they would make when you apply soldiership to each of the embedded natural ability? And by the way, I said there was a commercial coming up. Guess what? It just showed up. Here it is. You can get this book, Why You Were Born. The last chapter is available on Amazon, Kindle. It's Audible. It's all over the place. You can get it from our own website, nothingbutthetruth.org. My highest recommendation, because you'll not only discover why you were born, but you will in fact discover, you will discover the gifting, the embedded natural ability that you have. I think the biggest tragedy in life is for anybody to walk across the stage of time and be standing at the exit sign, look back and not know where they were or what they did, and have no sense of accomplishment. So we're talking here now that a soldier is one who applies the principles of soldiership to his embedded natural ability. So when we talk about that, let's take a look at what we mean. We talked about the condition, the qualities, the context, the ambiance, the demeanor, and the deportment of a soldier. And now we apply that. So then what happens? Each of the giftings, proclaimer, server, teacher, exhorter, giver, ruler, shower of mercy, or in the words that I use, the messenger and the helper and the explainer, they become mission, you become mission focused. Instead of just la la land and doing this or that, or wherever your glands dictate, you become focused on the mission. And that's what God wants for you and I. And if we're going to be soldiers, you got to be mission focused. That's why Jesus said this. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. I say, look, look, lift up your eyes and look. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The work is already sitting in front of us, but we must be mission focused. That's what happens when you apply soldiership to your embedded natural ability. And then you become functional. You're galvanized into action. Whosoever, Jesus said, will come after me has to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Let's get on with the job. Let's get to the task. The mission is waiting. The war's desperate. So when you apply soldiership, you become mission focused, you become functional, and you become accountable. Every one of us is ultimately going to give an account of himself to God, saith the scripture. A soldier must be accountable. So when you apply soldiership now, you become mission focused, you become functional, and accountable to your authorities and to God personally on the use of your gifting and keeping it going. You also become disciplined. Back to the scripture. We're going to talk about this a little later. Disciplined. When you apply soldiership to your embedded natural ability, soldiership, discipline, kicks into your embedded natural ability and sets you on fire. I mean, it's going to give you more thrust and gust than you ever thought of in your life. Discipline will happen automatically if you're focused. So that's why the scripture comes and says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You get discipline. And then when you're in a war, you have to regulate your time. It's tragic to have time and not use it. Well, distractions. In fact, entertainments of every sort keep us from doing the important things in life. If we apply soldiership to our gifting, then we're going to make sure that there's time to do the gift, time to do the ability, time to let that natural ability do what it's intended to do, which is to reach into the lives of others to change and transform them. Remember the scripture once again, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So these are some of the principles. In fact, let me give you one more. Because when you apply soldiership to your embedded natural ability, you not only become disciplined and time regulated, but you become results oriented. You see benefits. You see the results. And God's going to make sure that you get them both in this life and in the next life. He that reapeth receives wages, and he gathers fruit unto eternal life. I remember reading somewhere, someone said, the Christian life is difficult, but the retirement plan is amazing. The results are in this life. You are going to affect other people for eternity. It's really, it's dynamic. It's amazing. Remember that being a soldier means a person who applies soldiership to his embedded natural ability. Now, let's go on to one more point. We'll call it number 9. And it's something we keep talking around. So here we go. It's a soldier that endures hardness. Let's look at the scripture. We've seen it a number of times already. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's the name of the game. Toughness, soldiership, endurance. Well, here's the question. The question is, what does it mean? What does it mean to endure hardness? So let's take a look at some. It means to be tough. It means to be tenacious, not fragile nor easily broken. It means to be capable of endurance long term. Not easily tired or impaired. It means to be hardy, to be stout, to be sturdy. It means having great intellectual, moral, and spiritual endurance. Moral intelligence, it's a big deal. Because without moral intelligence, almost every other intelligence falls apart. It means to be steadfast, firm, and persistent. So when we talk about soldiership, we're talking about applying this kind of endurability, this kind of toughness to the mission. Soldiers have to train by the week, month, and even by the year. And so, why do they do that? Because the mission is going to require resources and energies that if you haven't developed them, you won't have them. Okay? Now, it's difficult, or I thought it was difficult for me to describe to you the kind of hardness that a soldier needs until I looked in the scripture and I found it. And so I'm going to review it with you. Here we go. Giving no offense, that's zero, in anything, no cause is adequate, that the ministry be not blamed, because God will get the blame. So soldiers, this takes hardness, not to offend anybody. In fact, you might recall the words of Jesus when he said this. It's impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better that a millstone, a cement block, be tied around his neck and he should be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of the least of these little ones. Now watch this, because this is really important. No offending. You can probably tell a genuine Christian because they don't go around offending people. They're cautious. And in fact, as you're going to see in a few moments, as soldiers that endure hardness, there are 30 qualities that contribute to our ability to not be offensive. Let's look at the next scripture. In all things, now watch it, all things, the whole deal, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Well, for goodness sakes, the problem we have today is that we have all kinds of fakery, hypocrisy. I mean, in fact, the scripture says that the devil himself is transformed into an angel of light, if you can imagine that. And so we have to be really careful, don't we? And probably the greatest need today in Christendom is authenticity. And this is going to show up when we find out whether or not we have the ability or willingness, rather, to endure hardness as a good soldier. So what we're going to do, we're going to prove ourselves as the ministers of God. We're going to prove that we're genuine. And how shall we then do that becomes the question. And the first thing is, because we don't go around offending anybody, ever. So, now, the scriptures give us a list. And so I'm going to go to that list now of what it takes to endure hardness and what are the things they have to endure in order to be a good soldier of Jesus. So here we go. Number one, in much patience. Whoa. patience. soldier has to slow down, because the benefit, by the way, of patience is that during patience is when you find out what you should do next accurately. So it's really important. Impatience. And afflictions. You are going to experience afflictions. People are going to come at you, point their finger at you. They're going to call you down. All kinds of afflictions. But let me tell you some good news about afflictions. The scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Count on it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from them all. The soldier is not affected by afflictions. He stays hard, tough, like we've just talked about. And then in necessities, we may have a scarcity of finances or food or whatever. It doesn't really matter. We know how to live, conduct ourselves in the warfare, even though we may be missing things that we think are necessary. So we're proving ourselves as ministers of God in necessities. When those times come, we find out where our real stuff is. Are we really soldiers that endure hardness? And then the scripture says, in distresses. And that's going to come. Distress. National distress. Personal distress. And doesn't matter, does it, to a soldier? That's okay. That's what's okay with us. We know how to handle it. That's how we prove ourselves as ministers of God, because we handle distresses. We don't freak out, flip out. We don't call it quits. We don't give up. We don't back down, back away. Don't get spoiled just because of distress, because we endure hardness. So we can handle distress and even stripes, which is probably a beating. And it may seem a shock to you. It's not here, but it's starting to come. It may surprise you that imprisonment's coming. In fact, it's happening to pastors. And most of the disciples experienced the same thing, didn't they? And is this legitimate? Should we ever get sent to prison? Certainly not for doing something wrong. But what's this now? Because here's the scripture. Men ought to obey God rather than man. So when the government, any government comes along and asks you to do something contrary to what God would approve, we say no to the government and yes to God, and we accept the consequences, and sometimes and quite often that could be in prisons happening already. And then in tumults, and that has to do with a lot of noise, a lot of commotion going on, all kinds of extravagant name calling and loudspeakers going and blasting, and none of these things move us. That's because we endure hardness. And then it says that we show ourselves in our labor. We have to work, and that's not a problem to us. We don't complain, grumble, or quit, or give up. We just keep doing it. We show our approval to God by suffering all the things that we've just mentioned, including in labors. And then the scripture talks about in watchings, which is, you know, I can't remember exactly when it was, but somebody was telling one of the children that when it was time to pray, you had to close your eyes. And the kid said, but Dad, the Bible says to watch and pray. But what does the scripture mean when it talks about watching? It's time for the soldier to take notice of what's really going on. This comes down to a quality of character quality, by the way, of alertness, which is simply this: awareness of that which is taking place around me in order to have a right and correct response to it. We need to be alert. That's what it talks about when it tells us to be in watchings, and we approve to God. And then in fastings. And sometimes they're voluntary, sometimes they're involuntary. Doesn't matter to us. We're in a war. We endure hardness, and we can do with little and sometimes nothing. And then the scripture talks about approving ourselves by pureness. And I don't know if you've heard about the virtuous circle, but the idea behind the concept is quite a good one. It simply means, and that's why these circles are several, because the idea is that one virtue leads to another, to another, to another, to another, and circles of virtue, thus, and so one becomes absent of evil. That's what virtue is, the absence of evil. And we overcome evil by doing good, by developing the character qualities. And that's what this pureness is all about. Because as this kind of an army, it requires good soldiership that indeed has pureness to it. And then by knowledge, we prove our acceptance to God and the ministry by proper, accurate information. And I must suggest to you in strong terms that the only way to be more spiritual is to be more scriptural. That in fact, we're not going by the word, we're not going. This word of God, this Bible holds the knowledge of God. And we must ever esteem and hold it in honor. Never should we let our own ideas compete with the ideas of God. You probably remember that great passage in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, and that's a long way, so are my ways and my thoughts above yours. It's stunning today to me that people who claim to be intelligent place their ideas above the ideas, the knowledge, the wisdom, the prudence, the understanding of God. Seems to me like they're playing God. And if they're trying to play God, they're not acting like the true God, that's for sure. So we prove ourselves by our knowledge of the Bible. Study, study, study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. And then my long suffering. Remember, our subject right now is, what is the soldier? And what is a soldier? Someone who endures hardness. So suffering, we don't make a big deal about it. We just suffer. In fact, there are so many people today who, if a mosquito lands on their arm, they think it's like the end of the world. Big men, big women, honest men and women. Soldiers of God. Wow, we just wipe the thing off and keep on going. Suffering is a part of the package. It's here to stay, but it doesn't matter to us because we're capable of absorbing it and suffering long. And then by kindness. As you well know, the scripture says that love suffers long. And the next thing is, and it's kind. And so here it is, put together again in scripture. Kindness. Boy, that's the mark of genuine divinity, isn't it? Isn't that what the Lord is like? Full of loving kindness. In fact, I'm thinking about that scripture, the Lord is long suffering to usward. To us, for it, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he suffers long, and he is indeed kind, as we are, soldiers. And then we are good soldiers because of the Holy Spirit, because of the Holy Ghost. My goodness. He's the power. He's the energy. In fact, one scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. And I tell you, enduring hardness and showing ourselves approved by God means we follow the Spirit. Nothing could be more important than getting those, I call them promptings, from God. It's the Holy Spirit. And I could give you a case in point. And maybe I've told you this before, but I'll risk. My wife's driving along with a coworker in the car, and they're talking about the Holy Spirit and about God. giving direction. And my wife said, this is really funny we're talking about this, because I just have this prompting from God that I need to change lanes. So she pulled over in the next lane, and she no sooner got over there than the truck in front of her dropped several loads of pallets of grass that she would have run into. Co-worker never forgot that lesson. You know, this, I tell you, dear friends, the Lord is so willing to take you down paths that are safe and they're secure. You can trust Him. And so we prove ourselves strong by the Holy Ghost. And then you can't follow the Lord without following love, because He is love, right? In fact, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, because you have love. Well, I want you to notice the point here, though. It's love unfeigned. Well, you can learn the techniques of love and still not love somebody. You just do the show, right? Unfeigned means no trickery, no pretension. Genuine love. Of course, we know, and you probably do, there are three kinds of thing called love. One is eros, which is marital intimacy. And then there's philia, which is from Philadelphia, then it's the city of brotherly love. So it's friendship, filial friendship. But then there is what's called agape love. This is the real thing. This is what the 13th chapter of Corinthians is about. And this kind of love is basically choosing relentlessly the highest good of every other person until it comes to pass. Choosing the highest good of others. So we prove that we're the ministers of God by having love unfeigned. And then by the word of truth, we got to go by the book. We're not going by the word. We're not going. The Bible. Some of the writers in the Bible called it a hammer. Some were a fire. Some it's called a sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. No substitute. This is what it takes to be a hardened soldier, an enduring soldier. Got to know the book and go by it. And then we live by the power of God. It is not enough just to know God's word. You must know the author. And in knowing the author, you discover an amazing thing. Listen to the scripture, for example. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. You know, Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. How is it possible to be strong when you're weak? And he gives us the answer. He explains to us that his efficiency is only deficiency until he has God's sufficiency. And so God comes in our weakness. Remember the scripture. We'll cover it the next time we're together. You see your calling, brother. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty are called. God has chosen the foolish things. Why? That no flesh should glory. But watch this now, because the issue here is that we are not alone in this battle. The battle is the Lord's, and He is not AWOL. He's ready to help you every step of the way. So we endure hardness by the power of God. And then by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Armor. The armor of doing right. On the right hand, on the left. We got it. It's because the enemy's probably not going to be right in front of us, left or right. But we have to have our armor on. Can't tell you how tempted I am to talk to you about the armor. Ephesians tells it really plain. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Having therefore, and then it goes through the armor. You see, a soldier who is going to, in fact, be a strong, tough, endure hardness as a good soldier, is going to have his armor. And it's delightful to learn about that. And then we suffer sometimes with dishonor or honor. It doesn't matter to us. Remember, we're talking about being having hardness as a good soldier, right? It doesn't matter whether people honor us or dishonor us. It doesn't matter. There are two enemies we all face. The blame of men and the praise of men. Both are traps. In fact, Jesus put it this way, and he asked the question, how can you believe who receive honor from men and not the honor that comes from God only? See, to the soldier of Jesus Christ, to our own master, we rise or fall. It doesn't matter whether we're honored or dishonored. Irrelevant. Part of enduring hardness is knowing that it, honor or dishonor, doesn't matter. In fact, evil reports may be voiced about you, or good reports, but we can't be deterred by what everybody else is saying. Everybody else's opinion cannot be allowed because we're soldiers. We're enduring hardness. Whether we get evil reports or good reports, we're doing our mission, we're doing our job anyhow, whether by evil report or good report. And then the scripture says, you might even be called deceivers, and yet you're true. As deceivers, and come on, there's a lot of lying going on these days. Truth has fallen in the streets. Deceivers are everywhere. It happens in business, happens in relationships. And I hate to say it, but it happens in religion. Worse than that, it happens in Christian religion. And that's why the Lord warned us, watch out. They're going to become wolves that are in sheep's clothing. They're going to look like sheep, but they're not. Watch out. Beware. Beware is what the Lord says. Deceivers shall come in among you and will deceive many. But we soldiers might be called deceivers, but we're still true no matter what they say. And then it says, as unknown yet well known. Popularity is not important to us as a soldier. It's not why we're in this. We got a war to fight. And whether we're well known or not well known is irrelevant because we're hardened soldiers. Now, the scripture goes on to saying, as dying, but behold, we live. And this, I have to spend a couple of minutes on it, if you don't mind. Because death brings forth life. Do you remember Jesus telling the parable of the seed? Except the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. In other words, that seed has to fall in the ground. It gets wet from the dew, wet from the rain, heated up by the sun, wet again, heated up again, and the outside of it rots so that the life that's inside the seed can get out. The death of the outside makes the possibility of the inside growing up. Now, this is not unlike our relationship with Jesus. He said, if you follow me, you have to deny yourself. And you take up your cross. That's the dying thing, right? And follow me. Why is that important? Because the only way to get rid of some things in life that shouldn't be in our lives is to die to them. That's why the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So it doesn't matter if we lose. We die to a whole bunch of things. But, oh, we live. As dying, we live. As chastened and not killed. You know it already, I'm sure, that the Lord himself said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, even as a father does a son in whom he delights. In fact, in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, if you're not chastened, it's an indication, according to the Bible, that you're a bastard and not a son. Because whom he loves, he chastens. But it doesn't kill us. But we're willing to be... let me spend a bit more time on this, because to be chastened means to be corrected. Who in their right mind would object to being corrected if they're on the wrong track, if they're lost, if they're disillusioned, if they're making wrong adjudications? I tell you, to somebody comes along to correct us, and maybe verbally isn't sufficient, as with children, and so we experience the hardship of disobedience, don't we? So we are chastened of the Lord, but it doesn't kill us, because we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And now, it's interesting, because the scripture goes on to say, "is sorrowful, yet rejoicing." Sorrowful. There's a lot of sad things going on in the world. You'll meet a lot of sadness. Mental, emotional, physical, social, domestic. That's why we are soldiers. We're going to deal with the sorrowful, but we're not going to let the sorrow put out our rejoicing. No, because if it did that, we'd end up in a sorry mess and need somebody else to come and help us, right? So we have sorrow, but it only endures for night and joy comes in the morning, right? We're always, always, always full of joy. Then the scripture says that we're we are as poor, but we make many people rich. Oh. The poorest man in the world is the man that only has money. I heard somebody say not so long ago that if when you tell somebody you were blessed and you got some money and you thank you for the blessing, if you think that money is the blessing, then you still don't know what a blessing is, because there are thousands of blessings. It's amazing. If people think money would make them happy, doesn't appear to work. Suicide rates at the top financial level are as severe as anywhere else. Depression is up there. Mental bombardments. Anger, anxiety, all kinds of things. You see, the Lord comes through us. Though we may be poor, yet we make many rich. As having nothing, and yet we possess all things. If you've got the Lord and nothing else, you got everything you need. If you have everything and you don't have the Lord, you have nothing. He is everything. And so we soldiers have no problem with having nothing. It's okay. Now, I want to go back to the verse just before we close. And I want you to take a look at it one more time. Because I want you to understand how important it is to endure hardness. So here we go to the verse. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to take your eyes off the intelligence monitor. I want you to see this next sentence, this next idea. Here it is. This is the toughness that enables us to be tender towards all others. Got it? If soldiers weren't tough, they didn't endure hardship, they didn't endure all the things we've talked about, right? Then they would be reduced to be like everybody else that's in need. This toughness is what enables us to be tender towards everybody else. Here's how it works. We absorb undeserved punishments. We absorb them. We don't react to them and do it back to the other people. We absorb undeserved punishments. And that's how we can avoid retaliation, vengeance, reprisals, retribution, paybacks, negative reactions. This is how we keep from being provoked and reduced by others to less than soldiers, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The reason for the hardness that we endure is so that we can absorb all the stuff that's no good and keep on loving anyhow. I hope this has been helpful to you, soldier. We're going to come back one more time, I think, on this subject and kind of get to the finale of what it means to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. For starters, if you've not gone on the track yet, let me recommend that you bow at the foot of an old rugged cross and let the Christ of yesteryear come walking out of the pages of the Bible right into your life. He'll wash away your sin. He'll take away all the past negativity. He'll cleanse it out of your life. He'll make you a new person. You'll be so strong that you'll be able to endure hardness like a good soldier.
Discover and uncover the truth about you.
At the core, everybody needs to have an accurate identity. They need to know who they are, what they are, and why they're here. Otherwise, life is just a maze and doesn't make a lot of sense.
Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self.
You turn from a question mark to an exclamation mark.
Why You Were Born unlocks the mystery surrounding your purpose in life, and it will lead you to choose a life path of excellence to live your best life.
And so it's a starting point for what I would call an amazing life, to know why you were born. You're here for a reason.
Learn more. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/born.